Candace Hulbert loves her job, but as a scientific associate at Oak Ridge National Laboratory, she says she's often the only woman and person of color in the room. Hulbert tells WGLT's Mary Cullen about how she encourages children from underrepresented groups to pursue careers in STEM.
As the only woman sometimes, or even a person of color, it's more noticeable if I did something wrong versus somebody else. You know, it's just always being under that pressure to make sure that I'm always performing well. So then that way, you know, you don't want to give minorities or black folks or women a bad name just because, you know, you just can't be you, I guess you can say sometimes. You don't have that freedom. You're always thinking about that. That's always in your mind.
How does society even begin to address that? You know, what can be done to be better?
Becoming aware of it is number one. So, you know, realizing that the people that are sitting at the table making all these decisions all look the same is number one. So if you can become aware and become aware of the biases and the systematic biases that I put into place, then you can start to at least address it. So if a person continues to ignore the fact that the room all looks the same, then they don't care that anything needs to be done about it. They're happy, and it's fine. And so, you know, I was just watching this article, this video about, you know, being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's what people have to do, is to get out of their comfort zone and challenge them on their own self about, you know, increasing diversity in thought and diversity in the way that you would go about your daily lives, basically. And so to realize your own biases, you can overcome them at the end. And then put your money where your mouth is at the end of the day. I mean, in reality, businesses will put millions and millions of dollars into products, but they, when it's time to hire a person, they all of a sudden don't have the money to do it. So the thing is that we need to be intentional about recruiting at these companies, and also know that because you hire a diverse candidate, so a candidate from, you know, underserved community, does not mean that that doesn't equate to somebody that's not qualified. So you still will hire the most qualified person, but you should also make sure you're being intentional about finding those correct people.
What initially drew your interest in STEM, knowing that there is this lack and knowing that maybe the peers that look most like you weren't pursuing the same things? What made you want to do it?
I wanted to make a lot of money. That is the biggest thing. So I knew when I was younger, I wanted to be a doctor. And Dr. Sephora, who's still at in the chemistry department at Illinois State, she asked me to do undergraduate research with her. So I said, sure, why not? And that is what introduced me to, you know, independent research, basically. And so that's kind of what led me into STEM. But I always enjoyed science. Even as a little girl, I loved science. But what kept me motivated was the fact that, you know, my friends were all really proud of me that I was the chemistry major. So I've always kind of been the unicorn in the room, where, you know, he had his black girl from Chicago who didn't go to the best high school in the city, who wasn't the smartest person in the class. I didn't get some extremely high score on my ACT or SAT. But I worked really hard. I'm a hard worker. And I'm motivated when I put my mind to something, I'm going to do it. And I felt like back in those days, I was extremely ambitious. And I felt like if people might not want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm going to prove them that I can.
Thinking about today's youth, whose responsibility is it to foster an interest in STEM for them?
I think it's the community. I really do. I believe that it's our job as scientists and engineers now to go back into the community and work with the youth. I remember when I was in high school, I had a math teacher ask a question one day in class, and I answered it, and he's like, "Yeah, that's right." He's like, "You know, you think like an engineer, you should be an engineer. And at the time, an engineer to me was a person that drove trains. And I'm like, why the heck would he tell me to be an engineer? I'm not driving trains. Like, you know, had I known what an engineer was, I probably would have actually majored in chemical engineering. And so if youth, especially from underserved communities, don't see people that look like them in those jobs and don't know that these jobs exist, that they never pursue it. And anybody, for that matter, you know, if you think about when you were a child, what you wanted to be, you probably wanted to be something that either your parents were or what you saw around you. So that's why you have so many kids say they want to be teachers or they want to be doctors or they want to be lawyers and things like that, because those are the professions we know about as children. Nobody really talks about electrical engineering. Nobody really talks about mechanical engineering or what a chemist may do or what an astrophysicist is. You still have people say, oh, I want to be an astronaut. Well, they are astrophysicists. So that's the thing. And unless you have that out there, you know, you get people that say, oh, I want to create video games. Well, those are computer scientists. And unless you know specifically about those jobs and what they do, you will never know to pursue that career.
Now, I think that ties in well with the nonprofit that you established, Yo STEM, or Youth Outreach in Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics.
Yes.
So your nonprofit works with underserved communities to address the lack of diversity in STEM. So how exactly are you living out those goals that you mentioned of, you know, getting involved in the community and really encouraging students to pursue STEM? How are you doing that through your nonprofit?
What we do is we are an after-school program, and we wanted to provide a safe space for young ladies to be themselves and learn science and do experiments at the same time. And then also to show them that we look like you and we are all STEM professionals in our own different ways. And so in our own different fields. And so and then that will inspire them, you know, to pursue it if that's what they choose to do. And so we would do different types of experiments, whether it was chemistry. We've done some college level experiments, so we've determined the amount of aspirin in the aspirin tablet. We had one young lady that was a mechanical engineer, so she had them designing and making little motorized buggies. They've done hovercrafts out of like styrofoam plates and things like that. They've learned about flow and shear based on particle size from our material scientists. We are basically like the lab of the school. So that's kind of where we are. We just really want to build these lasting relationships with these young people to guide them along the way. And so one of my girls, her response was, you know, I asked her about her opinion of the program, and she said, you know, she came to us as an eighth grader, so she said she was already on track to go into STEM, but seeing the women coming let her know that she could do it.
WGLT's Mary Cullen speaking with Candace Halbert, a scientific associate at Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Halbert is the keynote speaker at ISU's Charles Morris STEM Social for Underrepresented Students next week. This is Sound Ideas.